The book of John, chapter 1, we'll read verses 10 through 13. The Bible says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The one verse you're very familiar with in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, way of introduction, if you're born again, then you are a sinner saved by grace. Do you get that? If you're saved, if you're truly born again, you are a sinner saved by grace. Your sins have been blotted out. Blotted out of God's record. In heaven, church, if you're saved, there is not one sin written down in God's record for you. You know why? You're forgiven. You've been forgiven by God of all of your sins. Aren't you glad God loves you that much? Not only are you forgiven, but you are justified. Just as if you never sinned. But something else the Bible tells us, and I know this is elementary, but hang on. You've been bought. You've been purchased. The Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't just forgive you of all of your sins. He does not just make sure nothing is written down in heaven against you. But God blesses you, and he justifies you, and he buys you. Amen? You're bought. Not only that, but you are free this morning. Isn't that great? Your sins are gone. Always remember that. Your sins are gone, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, when you got saved, all of these benefits are yours. Now, if you're not saved, it's the total opposite. All of these sins you've ever committed in your life are on your record. Everything you've ever done, every cuss word, every thought, everything you did that was wrong is held against you. But thank God, when a man or a woman been born again, their sins are blotted out. They're forgiven. They're justified. They're bought. You are free, and your sins are gone. Now, I'm using that as a springboard because I want to deal with this thought. So if you're saved, just who are you? Who are you this morning? Well, number one, you are a sanctified one, according to John chapter 10 and verse 36. It means you have been set apart for heaven. Again, you are sure for heaven. Did you get that, church? You can have some things in this life that you say, I'm sure of it. But there's some things in this life you can't be sure of. But when you got saved, just who are you? You are a person that is sure for heaven. It doesn't mean you're perfect. There's not one perfect person in this room. If you're looking for a sinless church, you got the wrong one. Because there's nobody in this room that can look in the mirror and say that I'm not a sinner. But when you got saved, God did some things for you, and doesn't mean you're perfect, but he literally reserved in heaven a place for you. Now get that. Life is very short. It goes by rapidly. But if you're saved, God has reserved for you a place in heaven. In fact, he has built you a home in heaven. Built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So even though you have a home in this life, God has one waiting for you when you leave this world. And don't get your hopes up too much of living to a ripe old age. Not everybody makes it to 90. I've done a lot of funerals of people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I'm trying to say there's no guarantee, but one thing that is guaranteed. You have a home waiting for you in heaven, and you're as sure for heaven as John the Baptist. You are as sure to heaven as the Apostle Paul. You are guaranteed, if you're saved, that you are going to go to heaven when you die. But there's a second thing. Just who are you? Well, secondly, God has placed your name in the book of life. That's Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. In other words, like I said already, your sins are not recorded. And here's what I'm going to add to that. They won't be recorded. Now, don't misunderstand me there. You may say, well, if that's the case, I can just live like the devil. No, it doesn't quite work that way. Because if you don't confess your sins and get those right, there'll be some punishment down here, and God will do some judging down here. But when it comes to when you die, the bill's paid. Y'all with me so far? It's paid because you're justified. Your name is written in heaven. Did you hear that, church? Your name right now as you sit in this pew is written down in heaven. Amen. It's written down in God's record. It's okay to rejoice about that. Yes. It's okay to get excited about that. We get excited about everything else. But you can rejoice about the fact that you're saved. Let me hear everybody say amen.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. We can do that together. How about this one? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How about this one? Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we ought to start rejoicing more of the fact of what we got when we got saved. Our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's okay to have a spell together once in a while. We are a family here. There is no eraser on God's pen. He's not going to turn around and erase your name. If that don't get you excited, I don't know what will. Amen. We get excited over our favorite football team. Then we get disappointed when they lose. Too much of us, we put too much stock in the Saints. And when they lose, your heart's broken. Amen. But I want you to know one thing. You ain't going to lose with God. You are a winner the day that you got saved. Just who are you? You have your name placed in the book of life. Number three, just who are you? You are a regenerated one. That means you have a new nature. Now, hang on. But you also have the old one. But you have two new natures, you see? I mean, you have two natures. The new nature says, don't do that. That's not right. That's not what you're not thinking. You shouldn't think like that. But the Bible says you are a new creature in Christ, which means you are a somebody. Even if the world doesn't recognize you as really a somebody, you are a somebody with God. You're not an accident. You've heard me say this many times. When you were born, God didn't say, what do I got here? No, God, when you were born, brought you into this world for a purpose. You're a somebody. And when God saved you, when he washed away your sins, when he put your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, God saved you for a purpose. And I want you to know, if you've not found out why God brought you into this world, you ought to ask God to show you. Amen? I'm talking about every man, every woman in this room, every young person in this room. You're not an accident. God brought you here, and you're going to grow up one day. And God will show you, hopefully, if you'll ask him, why he let you be born. You're not an accident. But you have an old nature and a new nature. Now, how do you handle the old nature? Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he gives the answer, you get delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like he did when he saved your soul. Just like he did when he took away every sin you've ever done in your life. And when you mess up, church, with the old nature, glory to God, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask for his help and you ask him to forgive you. But you have an old nature. That's why sometimes a cuss word comes out. Now, the men, that happens to. The women, y'all, that never happens to you. Whoever said that better repent for lying. Amen. I didn't even know who said it. Amen. Because it comes out, that old nature is a mess. Thank God that we have a new nature. Amen. But we have an old nature. I wish somebody would tell Benny Chicken it about that. Tell Benny Chicken that he's got an old nature. You say that's Benny Hinn. You call it what you want to call it. I tell you who found out about that old nature is old Jimmy Swaggart. Amen. He found out that he had an old nature. Now, I'm not against Jimmy Swaggart. What I'm saying there is that it happens to everybody. If they're not careful and you don't watch that old nature, it'll get you into trouble. But there's some people that teach that the old nature is gone. I wish it was, Brother Jesse. Church, I wish the old nature was gone. I do. I wish I didn't have an old nature. Amen. I wish I didn't. But thank God I've got a new nature, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Yes.
Aren't you glad your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're heaven bound with a hammer down?
Amen.
Amen. Woo, glory. I get up here and I can do the twist there. I'm so happy I'm saved. Amen. And I'm on a winning. I can still do the twist. You see all that? Amen. Amen. I hurt the back a little bit, but amen. But the bottom line is here. We possess a new nature as well as the old nature. But with Jesus' help and the fact that Jesus lives in our heart, that's how we get the help. Because the Bible makes it clear, he's our hope of glory living inside of our body. That's how we get help with this old, stinking, no good, dirty, old nature. Amen? Oh, by the way, if you're not saved, you don't have to. You're in harmony with yourself. You have the old nature. Isn't that something? One nature is what you have. And you're not going to ever have any help until you get saved and you get the new nature and you have two of them inside of you. And they're always a battling with each other. Sort of like having two German shepherds in your body fighting each other for dominance. Did you hear me, church? You have two natures. One wants to win. And the one that you allow to win is the one that wins that day. Thank God I like it when the new nature wins. Amen? When we trust our Heavenly Father. All right, just who are you? Number four, you're his child. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 bears that out. You're his child. You are born again. Your citizenship, watch it now, has been changed. And you didn't have to illegally cross the border either. Amen? To get to the United States. And I want you to know you didn't illegally cross the border to get to heaven. You got born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you don't have to cross the border line. He done brought you over. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. This world is not your home. It's not your home. We're going to be going to a place where nobody ever sins. You know why? Because your body will be a spiritual body. Right now you have a natural body according to the Word of God. That natural body gives us a problem sometimes with sin. But when we get to heaven, nobody, not one person in heaven has ever sinned. Can you believe that? Well, that's hard to fathom that, isn't it? I mean, having a place in heaven where nobody has an evil thought. Nobody says a cuss word. Nobody says something bad about your brother or sister. I don't know how God does it, but the only thing I can say, the spiritual body is in control and nobody has an evil thought, and I'm for that. There's no sorrow there. No death. No one ever dies in heaven. No memorial services for anybody. Amen. No more funeral homes, no more hospitals. All of those things are gone. Amen. Remember, church, you're just passing through. That's what this world is. You're passing through. You're here for a little while. So I say just enjoy yourself when you come to church. This is as close to heaven as you're going to get when you come through those doors. Amen? All right, number five. I like this one. Just who are you? You are a person who can pray anytime you want to. You don't have to ask the priest's permission. Now, hang on, church. You don't have to go to El Papa for you. Amen? I'm talking about the Pope. You don't need his help. When you got saved, Jesus Christ became your Savior. And he lives inside of your body. But not only that, but he is the mediator. He's the go-between. That means when you and I pray, we've got someone that can help us to reach God. Nobody in this room has the right to go directly to God. But we have a mediator through Jesus Christ that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. Whenever I sin, I feel so bad about it, and that Jesus said, that one belongs to me. Amen? And when I pray, I've got somebody that can help me to reach our Heavenly Father. You know something? It was that way when you got saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? And that's how you get saved, but that's how you pray. You've got to go through him. And why does a person sometimes think they can bypass Jesus Christ and reach God? Jesus is the way to salvation, and he is the way that you can pray. You don't need anybody's permission. I pray for you many, many times. Sometimes people ask, Brother Paul, pray for me. I do that. But you don't need my permission for you to pray. You have a right to pray anytime you want to. You have a mediator, and you can do it. All right, as we continue here, number six, you are an object of God's love. That's who you are. You are made, watch it now, in his image, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. So that means many things. The fact that you are saved and you're made in his image, it means you're called. God calls everybody to be saved, and God has called you into this world for a purpose. Second, you're forgiven. You've heard that already. You're justified. You're sanctified. That's a big word that means you're set apart for heaven. Did you hear me? You're set apart. You're set apart from this world. I don't care how much the world tries to sway you to turn your back on the Heavenly Father and that their way is the right way. I got news for you. If it's not the Jesus way, it's not the right way. Amen? You're sanctified. You're bought. You are a citizen of heaven. Your name right now is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you are regenerated. That means that God has changed your inside. That's where the new nature comes in. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewed. You've been renewed. You have been reserved. And watch it now. You have been preserved. Amen. That won't cost you any extra right there. You're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. You're set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Like I said, you're preserved. People that like to make these preserves and put them in a bottle and put the lid on and make it real tight will say, how does that compare to salvation? My Bible tells me you're sealed until the day of redemption. That sounds awfully preserved to me. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, church, we must never forget how good our Heavenly Father is to us. Now, let me put a little icing on the cake and kind of ruin it a little bit here. Now, because of the fact that all these things have been given to us, here's some things that we need to make happen and have continue happen. Number one, don't forget to love each other. Did you hear me? Love each other. Man, that's been a motto here ever since I've been your pastor. Love each other. I'm so sick and tired of churches that they say they love, but they really don't. People brag about Ridge Memorial having a loving church. Let's never lose that. Because of who you are. Because you're saved. Because your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because you have been sanctified, you've been justified. Because you're heaven bound, your name is written in heaven. And because Jesus lives in your heart, we have an obligation, watch it now, to love everybody that comes to this church. Amen. You say, well, I just can't get close to him or to her. That's your problem. If a person's saved, that's your brother. Or that's your sister. And there's no two people alike. Always remember that in the church. Love each other, then forgive each other. That's the motto. Love each other, forgive each other. You want to know what makes a good church? Those two things right there. Love each other and forgiving each other. Not only that, but never consider someone lesser than you. You better watch that. Well, I think I'm big, and you know, I'm that person lesser than me, and I'm up here and they're down there. That kills the church. There ain't nobody in here better than anybody else. We're saved the same way. Ain't nobody here more saved than anybody else. We all got it the same way. We all got it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Never consider yourself lesser and never consider them lesser. I mean, you're not lesser than them and they're not lesser than you. We're all saved by the same blood. We're all going to go to heaven because of the same Savior. How about an amen on that? Glory to God. Don't go to sleep on me now. Amen. You go to, if I see somebody sleeping, we'll go another hour. Amen. Okay, you're awake now. All right. Something else. Don't hold anything against anyone. Even if they looked at you funny. Don't hold it against anybody. This is what kills churches. I mean, I talk to pastors all the time. Somebody gave that person a funny look and they quit. Goodness, there. That don't ever forget that. If somebody looks at you funny, maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they had an argument with their wife on the way to church, or maybe they had an argument with their girlfriend or boyfriend. I don't know. But it happens. Glory to God. Never ever hold anything against anybody. And number five, don't be a fault searcher. That's new. I put that in there last night. Don't be a fault searcher. Looking for faults. In other words, trying to search and find one in somebody. And of course, if you look hard enough, you'll find one. But by doing that, you found problems with yourself. You look in the mirror. If you find fault with somebody in the church there, then you better search yourself. Because remember who you really are. And who you really are is a saved man or a saved woman that's got every sin they've ever committed in their life forgiven. And that person that you think is not as spiritual as you are is just as saved as you are. So it's time that we thank our Lord and we remember who we really are. I gave you about six things that you can shout about going home. But remember, these six things. Love each other, forgive each other, never consider someone lesser than you, don't hold anything against anyone. Don't be a fault searcher, and remember who you really are. Keep it knit together. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.